Okay, we're starting a new perek, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Going back to the halacha of Stei Achuza. So the Mishnah states that you can't be mekatshin lifnei ayoyvel pochois mishtei shonim. We'll see what this halacha means. Pasha taich means you can't be makdish a field if it's within 2 years to yoyvel. The Gemara will explain that that's advice. Mishnah is advising us that we shouldn't do it because you won't be able to redeem it, as we'll see. V'loy goyalin achar hayoyvel. Again, we'll see what that taich means. Poches mishona. You can't redeem it after yoyvel less than 1 year. Pasha taich mishnah means you have to wait more than a year to redeem it. Ein mechashvin chadoshim lehekdesh. We don't count months for hekdesh. Simple means that every stei achuz has a flat rate of redemption, right? When you poida, we had this earlier, when you poida a field, when you give over a makdesh, a stei achuz at a hekdesh, when you redeem it back, based on a flat fee of chamishim shekel. Flat fee, the same fee every time, whenever you redeem it back, there's a flat fee. But the halacha that is, and then you deduct every year based on that figure of chamishim shekel, every year you deduct a sela or a sela and a pudyon per year. So every year that you're on the property. So if somebody is there for 6 months, technically, we should take off a half a seller when he redeems it. If Hektish has had possession of the property for 6 months, so for every 6 months, we should take off a half a seller. And accordingly, we should prorate. So the Mishnah says we don't prorate it. The years are looked on as one unit, and therefore when you redeem it based on yearly cheshbonus, with obviously Hektish being the beneficiary. So in other words, if Hektish is sitting on the field for half a year, it's like as though they weren't sitting on the field at all. So you'll redeem that full year. You have to redeem. The only way for you to get any deduction, we only deduce if it's a full year. And we will only deduce a full year. We will not deduce less than a full year. That's the psak of the Mishnah. But then it says, Aval HaHekdish is Mechashiv Chadosh. Which sounds almost like a steering. But Hektish does count months. What does that mean? We just said Hektish doesn't count months. So for that, if you look in the Gemara, if you turn to Chafei Amar Aleph, the last piece of Gemara, the Gemara explains that a little bit ambiguously, but the Gemara explains that. The Gemara says, Ein mechashvin chadoshim tono rabbonon. Minayin shein mechashvin chadoshim imay hekdish. How do we know that we don't make cheshbonos, we don't negotiate with hekdish over months? Tamad loy ma'vechishiv lo yakoyin. Es ha-kesef al-pi ha-shonim ha-nei-sohois. Based on the years. The Kohen makes a cheshbon. Shonim ato mechashev v'yato mechashev chodoshim. We only count years, not months. Okay, that's the first statement of the Mishnah. But then the Mishnah says, Avala hektish is mechashev chodoshim. Says the Gemara, U'minayin shem ato roitze lasos chodoshim l'shono oise. How do you know that you can? You talking to hektish, not talking to us. Hey chidomi. See, the whole formula of reducing the pidyon by the year, every year a sela and a pudyon goes off, only holds true till the last 2 years before yovel. The last 2 years already, it's almost like that whole possibility is gone. And now the buyout is only a complete buyout. Now you got to go back to the 50. So really your option of negotiating the years is only till the 48th year. Once the 48th year comes, it's too late. You need to at least be deducing 2+ years in order for Hektish to talk to you. Otherwise, it's a 50 shekel deal. So the heck now, if you're holding by 48 and a half years, if you're into the 48th year, now Hekdish gains by counting the months. Because now Hector says, you know what? You passed the deadline. Now you can't deduce anything. Now you can't deduct it because now it's too late. So there it services Hegdish to say that that year is already, yes, counted. Those months are counted. We do view those months. So then, Bekitzer, if it's a benefit for Hegdish, they can do it. So for the 47 years, Hegdish will never look at the months. They will always say nothing has gone by until the full year has gone by. But when it comes to the last 2 years, then Hegdish has this. Now the Lashon of the Gemara is a little bit ambiguous, because Lashon Gemara is Ima Toroitze. Inayin Shima Toroitze. Who's Roitze? Who wants this? What does Ima Toroitze mean? Strange Lashon the Gemara uses. So Rashi actually doesn't really hold of that whole thing. Rashi seems to hold that if it's less than 2 years, then it's too late. Rashi holds very straight that if you're holding within 2 years to Yovel, that's it. There's nothing to deduce. It's over. That's Rashi Sheet. But the Lashon of the Gemara, Minayin Shema Toroitze, that Lashon sounds like it's talking to somebody. So the Rambam actually learns, and this is a Rambam we'll get to more in the following sugya. The Rambam Sheet is that it's actually up to the Kohen, the Gizbar. The Gizbar has a right to say, you know what? We'll let you negotiate. Or the Gizbar could say, no, it's a Shilas, who is he to decide that Hegdish has a right to make or lose? That's a shtickle of plea. Right? It's L'chayri, he should not have that right. The Kohen shouldn't have the right to say, you know what? We'll talk to you. We'll negotiate with you. Who's he to negotiate? But that's the way the Rambam reads. The Rambam says that if the Kohen sees that there's a Tzorech Hekdesh to get the full 50, if the Gizbar sees that Hekdesh needs the full 50, then the Gizbar could tell you, you know what? It's too late. There's no 2 years left, and now you got to give me the 50 shekel. I mean, it's a huge difference. You're talking about 2 shekel versus 50 shekel per base court. I mean, it could be a tremendous amount of money. So the Rambam says it's up to the Gizbar. The Gizbar decides based on the economics of Hegdish, like if it was years like it's been the last couple of years, the Kohen would definitely say, pay the full 50. It's in his discretion. So that we're going to have to get to. How could it be in his discretion to make such a decision? L'chayr, if the Torah, either it is counted or it's not counted. But that's how the end of the Mishnah reads. The Gemara now's main focus is on the beginning of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks for a minu, makdishin bein lifnei ha-yovel, bein lachar yovel. You could redeem a field, you could be makdish a field, whether it's before yovel or after yovel, u'bishnas ha-yovel atzmo lo yakdish. Only the year of yovel itself, you shouldn't be makdish. But everything except for the 50th year itself, you could be makdish. V'im higdish, ein ha-kedusha. The 50th year, it won't work. We'll see what that means. It won't work. Rabu Shmuel Amitavayu, they explain, what does it mean you don't redeem a field before Yovel 2 years? Ein magdishin ligoyel begirua bepochas mishteishan. You will not be able to negotiate if it's within 2 years. That's what we just learned. Negotiation can only go on until the 48th year. Once you're into the 48th year, it's too late to negotiate. So when the Mishnah says, ein mekatshin, it doesn't mean you can't. It means if you will, you're throwing the book in. You're not going to be able to even though Hegdish would only, Be'etzim, there's only 2 more years left to Yovel, less than 2 years, doesn't matter. Since that's the halacha, so the Mishnah is telling you, be careful. You got to know what you're getting yourself into. You should be careful and not do it. Because if you're going to be makdish less than 2 years, you got to know what you're getting yourself into. Okay, so that's the Gemara. But the fact is that we learned that if you're makdish the field in Yovel, it doesn't work. That's what Shmuel said. Itmar makdish shodei b'shnas ha-yovel atzma. Rav says, kedusha v'noisein chamishim. Rav says it works. and you redeem it back based on the 50 shekel figure. Ushmul amar eino kadoisha kol ikar. It doesn't work at all. Again, because the 50th year is the year when everything goes back. The question is, what happens over here? Now, it happens to be that Hekdesh doesn't have the din of Yovel. By Hekdesh, if you're makdish a field to Hekdesh, you don't redeem it back by Yovel, then the field is gone. The field stays by Hekdesh, and then ultimately it goes to the Kohanim. That's the halach. So by Hekdesh, your field doesn't come back to you. That's obviously why there's room for debate, whether you makdish the field in Yovel, what happens? Rav says it works, and ultimately, it's as though you will makdish it the first year into the Yovel. You got to pay the full figure. That's Rav Shita. And Shmuel holds it doesn't work at all. Shmuel holds that if you makdish a field in Yovel, it's not effective. We'll see. Maskev l'Rav Yosef. We understand Shmuel's halacha. This is going to be primarily a machlokes we're going to have on Daf Chof Tes about selling a field in Yovel. Also machlokes Rav and Shmuel. What happens if a guy sells a field in Yovel? But there, it's logical. Because there, it makes sense why Shmuel would say it doesn't work. Because there, it's an ineffective time to sell. Because even if you sold something, it would leave by Yovel. So Yovel's like a no-buy zone. So if it revokes sales, surely the sale can't be effective. So there, it makes sense. It's logical what Shmuel say. But by Hekdesh, it's not logical. Because Hekdesh, if you makdish something, it stays by Yovel. It's over. Mechir is over. It stays by Hekdesh. So their logic would dictate, if anything, maybe if you makdish something, it should stay by Hekdesh. Why should it not work? That's the Gemara's kasha. Bishloi melinyin mechira, the pligi Shmuel alei de Rav. There it makes sense. Ikalamei makal v'chayma. There he has a kal v'chayma. Ma mechur kaval yoytza. If a field that you sold gets revoked, the sale gets reversed. She'ena mechura, ena din shalei timocha. So surely if you're trying to make a kinyan bichal, it's always easier. It's always easier to make that as something shunt bichal than to revoke a pre-existing condition. So if Yovel could reverse a sale, surely it would make that the sale's not chal to begin with. Elohocham hikol meima kal v'chayma. What's the kal v'chayma? If you makdish a field, it stays by Hekdesh. V'atanani gi'a Yovel v'lo nigalo. Kohanim nichnosim l'soicha. The Kohanim stay there. So it's finished. So the sale's over. So if it stays in the domain of Hekdesh, why would you say that if you're Makdash at Yevil, it doesn't work? Shmuel Krav Shimon Svirale. Shmuel holds that the Kohanim that go in, they don't pay for it. Nichnosim v'loy noisnim. Which means Hekdesh gets no benefit. What basically happens is, Hekdesh, you makdish the field to Hekdesh, and by Yovel it goes to the Kohanim. Okay? So if the Kohanim pay off Hekdesh, then that would translate that when you makdish the field to Hekdesh, really you're giving it to them, lo'el me'elomim, and Hekdesh by Yovel gives it to the Kohanim, and Kohanim pay Hekdesh off. So that would mean that when you donate it to the Beis HaMikdash, you're donating it forever. Yeah, forever, it never goes back. But if you learn that the Kohanim go ahead and they don't pay, right, that would translate into a whole different concept. That would basically mean when you sell something to Hekdesh, it's also only a maximum 49-year sale. And then it goes back. The Pasuk says, instead of going back to the owner, it goes to the Kohanim. But that's the Torah's decision, where it goes. But the Hakdosha, when your Makdosha is only for 49 years. See, here's the tricky part, because the Rambam is just not going to work. Al Gemara seems to be saying that Ein Echanami, if you go ahead and you Makdosh the field to Hekdesh, and Hekdesh keeps it forever, the only thing is that when Yovel comes, they give it to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim pay them off, then that means that Yovel doesn't affect Hekdesh. If Yovel doesn't affect Hekdesh, then there is no logic to say that if you makdish a field in Yovel, that it shouldn't work. Why shouldn't it work? Hekdesh doesn't get affected by Yovel. Right? That's what the Gemara seems, that's how the Gemara reads. Hegdish does not get affected by Yovel. It's only if the Kohanim come in and they don't have to pay, then that translates that Hegdish does get affected by Yovel. And Yovel does reverse the Hakdosh. The only thing is, the Torah Hakdosh says that normally the sale goes back to the owner. And here the sale, upon termination, goes to the Kohanim. But it's the same lumdus. The termination is the same. That's the whole point of our Gemara. The whole point of our Gemara is that if the Kohanim don't pay, that means there's a termination to the sale. If the Kohanim pay, then it's as though the sale is living on. It's living on because Hekdesh now sold it to the Kohanim. The original transfer that you gave to Hekdesh is staying forever. That's how the Gemara is learning it. There's other ways you could learn. I'm just saying how the Gemara is learning. The Gemara Lamais is learning that when you give the field to Hegdish, the concept that sale is getting terminated is going to be determined by whether the Kohanim have to pay or don't have to pay. If the Kohanim have to pay, that means that the sale is not terminated. That means that Hegdish owns it forever, loyal me'olamim, and the only thing is, they sell it to the Kohanim. If, however, you learn that the Kohanim come in for free, then we can say that there's a termination to the sale. That's how the Gemara reads. But now the Gemara says like this. The Rav, what does Rav do? So Rav has two choices. Rav could either say, you know what, I hold that the Kohanim have to pay. And therefore I hold that the sale is not terminated. That would be one option. But Rav comes in with break the places. Rav says, no, I'm going like everybody. Because I hold that even if the field goes to the Kohanim for free, that's not a termination. That's parsonage. That's parsonage. That's the whole concept of parsonage is a halachic thing. It already comes from the Torah, came before the government that gave us that rabbis are potter from tax. I mean, not potter, but many rabbonim have expanded it more beyond. But Be'emes is state chain in Parshas Vayigash. That Yosef said, Admas HaKohenim is free from taxes. So the parsonage concept is biblical. It's not a constitutional thing. It's a biblical concept. It's already in the time from the Torah. So now the Beis HaMikdash gives their Kohanim parsonage. So Rav is saying, even though the Kohanim are getting it for free, it's a Hegdish perk. It's a Hegdish perk, but it's still Hegdish. The Eibishter through the Beis HaMikdash is giving the Kohanim a land. So that's not called really, it's not terminated. That's Rav's point. Really, the sale, when you give something to Hegdish, it's never terminated. It's just within the framework of the Beis HaMikdash that the Eibishter said that the Kohanim get this field. So it's not that Hegdish is getting terminated and instead of going back to the owner, it's going to Kohanim. No, it's all an extension of Hegdish. That's how the Gemara reads. That's not the point. The point is, if Hegdish goes and sells it to somebody, there we say clearly that means that Hegdish owns it forever. They're selling it to somebody. So now Hegdish is giving it to somebody. It's also for Hegdish's use. Just like if Hegdish cashed in the field for $100,000, we wouldn't say, oh, the sale was terminated. We'd say, what do you mean? Hegdish took it and used it for their needs. Correct? So now by Hegdish giving it to the Kohanim, that's also their needs. Which is how Rav learns, says the Gemara, v'kohanim mishulchan gavoya kazach. But the critical factor here in the sugya to understand is that the Gemara seems to be saying very clearly that if the Kohanim pay, then there's nothing to talk about. If the Kohanim pay, then definitely when you originally were makdash it, you were makdash it forever. If the Kohanim don't pay, then we can debate. Rav comes and he says, you know, even if the Kohanim don't pay, I still don't see that to contradict my concept, which is that when you give it to Hegdish, it's really by them forever. That's the whole point. That's what Rav is coming to say. Rav is saying, coming in breite heit, he's coming in very broad. He's saying, I fit according to everybody. Whether you hold avad, if you hold that the Kohanim have to pay, of course the Hegdish is forever. That even Shmuel agrees. Shmuel went and said, well, I go like Avshim. I hold that the Kohanim come in for free. Rav says, I'm not impressed. Even if the Kohanim come in for free, it's also an extension of Hekdesh. That's the whole shock of the Gemara. But clearly our Gemara is shutting closed the option of saying that the Kohanim have to pay and that the Hekdesh is only limited. That's clear from our Gemara. Doesn't seem to be any wiggle room out of that. The Gemara is clearly saying that if at the end of the, if by Yovel, Hekdesh takes the property that you transfer to them, and they sell it to the Kohanim, that means that it's not reversed. That means that Hekdesh, that's clear, that's like Oiskishpart from our Gemara, there's nothing to talk about. The only debate between Rav and Shmuel is if the Kohanim don't pay. So Shmuel says, if the Kohanim don't pay, that means that the Hekdesh is terminated. And Rav says that even if the Kohanim don't pay, that doesn't mean it's terminated. It means that the Mishulchan Gavoya Kazach. That's the way the Gemara reads. That's the way it teaches the Gemara. Problem we have is that the Rishonim and the Rambam Beroisham seem to totally be unimpressed with our whole sugya. Because the Rambam paskins like Shmuel. He says that if you makdash a field, as you see from the, we brought this down, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, Higdish Sadeu Bishnas Hayevel Atzma Ine Mekudeshes. That's the Rambam in Erech in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud. So the Rambam is basically, he's paskening like Shmuel. And if you look at Perek Dalet Halacha Yutes, the next Rambam we have here, the Rambam paskins 100% that the Kohanim have to pay. HaMakdish Te'achuzosoi V'higei Hayevel V'loi Niftis. If you were not, if you did not redeem the field back, el harei tachas yad hekdesh, hakohanim noisnim es domeho. The Kohanim have to pay. Utehei achuz olohem shein hekdesh yoytze beloy pidyon voisnim adomim mipul hekdesh bedek abayis. What basically means is that the Rambam is completely ignoring our sugya. You find this also in the Ran. Find other Rishonim. They are basically ignoring our Gemara. Because not only are they forgetting the rules of Hayro, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, Halacha Kishmuel, the Halacha is like Rav Bedini and Shmuel Bisuri. Forgetting that gets into another whole issue. It's a whole Shaila by Hekdesh, how we treat it. Do we treat it like Dini? Do we treat it like Isuri? Forgetting going into that question. Because for that we would have a solution. We could possibly say that this has a din of Mominus. And by Mominus, even though we normally paskin like Rav, By moments we pass like Shmuel. So we have an option. There's a sugya in Bechoros like that also on Afchoftes. There's places that would suggest this possibility. That's why I'm not asking why the Rambam paskins like Shmuel. That's not a kasha. But I'm asking you, why is he ignoring our Gemara? Our Gemara says clearly that if you hold that the Kohanim are noisnim domeo, that the Kohanim have to pay, that means that Hekdesh does not get affected by Yovel. And if Hekdesh does not get affected by Yovel, then there's no reason in the world why the Mechira should go ahead and why the Hekdesh should be buckled. That's the whole point of our Gemara. It's really a plea. So that's really the main issue here to understand our sugya. The sugya seems to be, now the Gemara goes into Pesukim as well. The Gemara goes through Rav and learns the Pesukim. But the point seems to be that the foundation of our sugya is firstly to get around the svara. That's the whole seder of the Gemara, because the svara would service the kavuchaymer, which the kavuchaymer is really what we have on Daf Chavtes. But the whole kavuchaymer is only riding on if you say that it goes out. If when you makdish something, it doesn't last past Yovel. So we gave a Or Sameach here, we tagged on to an Or Sameach. I don't know how much the Olam got a chance to go through that Or Sameach. He tries to work through this sugya. And basically, he does conclude that the Rambam is not impressed with our Gemara. That's the Maisa, what he says. He says the Rambam doesn't hold of this whole pilpul of Rabbi Yosef. With the Kavuchomer, with the this, with the money, with the back and forth. He says the Rambam's not. If you look at the Achakol Agdomis, after he gives his whole Agdomis, he says Lamaisa, Il Sever, the Kaimalon, Kabi Shmuel, the Kahanim Nichnasim Damel. Ubekol Zeh Posak Yishmuel. This is the third paragraph, starting with Vikivon Shekain. He says, Ibnasa Yevel Eine Kedusha Kalikah. And then he says, V'loi Sever Pilpulo de Rav Yosef B'tamayu. He doesn't hold of the pilpul of Rav Yosef. The Osamech makes this out like it's a Bar Mitzvah Bachas B'Shtikul Techeh. And the Rambam doesn't hold of the Bar Mitzvah Bachas B'Shtikul Techeh. Bar Mitzvah B'Shtikul. A lot of people don't hold of the Bar Mitzvah Bachas B'Shtikul. How's that the Rambam? That's what he says. It's really a Pel de Gazach. It's really a Pel after everything is said. If the Rambam doesn't have secured a sugi which is Mukh, not like our Gemara, it's a tremendous chiddush to say that the first part of our sugya doesn't, it's not meaningless. The whole Kal V'Chomer, which seemed to be riding on this, and the Gemara said that the whole Kal V'Chomer falls apart if you hold Kohanim Borim V'Nichnosim V'Yotzim D'Meh, which really means the whole sheet of Shmuel is riding on that idea. And Shmuel, we don't paskin like that. We paskin that Kohanim Borim and they have to pay. It's really a very big chiddush. There was another Or Sameach in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, but I didn't want to overburden the Yovel. But it's along the same lines. So I think as a Havana to understand the sugi a little better, we could really broaden this to a much bigger Machlekes. Not just the Machlekes here in Erechim, but a Machlekes in other places. That's what I think the way it has to be to understand this. And that is that we find a generic shaila, and this is negeh to tens of sugyas and shas, which is that when the Torah gives us a limitation, any limitation, okay? Let's say the Torah says you could sell something, but then in 10 years it goes out, okay? Does that mean that we look at it now from the get-go, that it's a limited ownership? Or do we look at it like it's an ownership that's forever? And then it gets revoked. Okay? It gets revoked. It's like if you take over somebody's property. Okay? So, when you take over the person's property, that's a new action. The person owned the property forever. Now you went and you took over the property. Now this is found the Moshul, the Gemara Makis, just to give you a dogma. The Gemara Makis has a question on Dav Gimel, right? The Gemara has a lengthy discussion if somebody goes and lends his friend money for 10 years. So the Gemara has a Shaila, if Shemitah is in the middle, is it Meshameh the loan? Why wouldn't Shemitah get rid of the loan? Because right now I can't collect the loan anyway. Right now, I can't collect the loan anyway. It's not collectible. So therefore, Shemitah doesn't play a role. Or, do we look at the end? The end result is that it will be collectible. We don't look at the end result as something that comes later and doesn't affect the current. We look at it right now, that end result is here now. And therefore, it's called a collectible loan, and Shemitah could come now and nullify it. Or can Shemitah only deal with what's here now? Shemitah can't deal with what's going to be in the future, because it's almost like we look at it, the loan is non-collectible. And then there'll be a Siba, in 10 years you can collect the loan. In fact, the Marit, in that Sugya Makis, the Marit says that if you lend somebody money for 10 years, they don't owe you a penny. At the end of 10 years, then they owe you money. He says an unbelievable chiddush, the Marit. He says, if you go to somebody, you tell them you owe me $1,000. And the guy says, and it's due now. And the guy says, well, 500 of it is, first of all, he says, you're right. I borrowed $1,000 from you. But 500 is due now. And 500 is due in 10 years. The Marit says, you're moed b'miktsas yichayev eshvu d'oraisa. Even though you're admitting that you took a $1,000 loan. He says, because the 500 that's not due now doesn't exist. It's like you're saying, I only owe you $500. Are you being a gentleman? You're saying, yeah, but the other $500, I got to pay you in 10 years. What? What do you mean? You cancel? First of all, selling a loan is a davar shelo yibaleh. Let me give you some advice. But lemaisa, you're not selling the loan. You're selling a schus gviya. You're selling an for somebody who's done trading for so many years. You're selling an option. Does that make sense to you? I mean, to all of us, it doesn't make sense, but to you, it makes sense. You're selling an option. You're selling a schus. You're not selling the actual money. You're selling the schus. That's all. But lemaisa, some hold that mechirish toras is only the rabbanon, Shelley, for your reason. Some hold that mechirish toras, there's nothing really to sell. As midaraisa, it doesn't even work. But lemaisa, that's what the Maharit says. And this shaila, whether it's similarly, let's say I'll give you a dugma. A person sold a field when Yovel was noyik, right? This is mamish negeya during the bayis rishon. At the end of the tkuf of the bayis rishon, Yovel wasn't noyik after Beis Hamikdash was over. So let's say somebody sold a field 25 years prior to the Beis Hamikdash being chorev. Okay, and it was the first year of the Yovel. So the sale was going to be for 49 years. 50 years it was going to come back. And then, lo yaleinu, the Beis Hamikdash got chorev. Okay? Would the sale get reversed? Depends. If you learn that now that there's a din of Yovel, what's really happening is I'm selling it to you for 49 years. So now it's irrelevant. If in the middle of that time period, Yovel's out of the picture, it doesn't matter. It's still going to come back to me. Yovel stopped, the clock of Yovel stops turning, it doesn't matter. Because it was a limited sale. The sale had its own limitation built in intrinsically, a limitation. Right? But if you learn that Yovel is a termination, really the sale works. It's a sale forever. The only thing is, Yovel comes, and Yovel terminates the sale. So then it makes sense to say that if the Beis Hamikdash was not around, there's no more Yovel, the guy got himself a deal. Because he bought a field forever, with a Yovel can come and break it. The Yovel is gone now, so it's no problem. What would be when Yovel was noyeg, you sold a field to a goy? He has no mitzvah of Yovel. So if it's an imposed limitation in sales, it may even be applicable to a goy. If it's a mitzvah of Yovel, that Yovel comes, it's some kind of mitzvah of Yovel, it won't work. So I found years ago, one of the Talmidim of Rav Shimon Shkop, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, wrote a fascinating sefer called Hamidos L'Chaker HaLocha. This whole sefer is dedicated to analyzing concepts. So here, in his Ois Lamed Hei, he has this shaila. He says, "Dovar shebehemshach hazman." If you have something which eventually, with time, bo sibo levatel, ha'imanu oimrim shamisayviv. He uses a Rav Shimon Shkop type language, but that's really what he said. Do we say that the misayviv shall asibo rishayin achal ba'ifin zmani? He says, or do we say the al sibo poelas lechud va'asibo ashniyim mevatelos rishayin? Do we say that right now we look at it like the sale is only for till yevil? Well, do we look at it like the sales forever? And then Yovel comes and Yovel will break it. That's his question. He has arichas here in discussing this concept. The Chelkis Yoyev, in his tshuvas, asks a fascinating question. And to me, this is the key to... So this is really the guts, in my opinion, to understand this issue, is how every Yovel works. How does every Yovel work? Is Yovel mafkia? Is that what Yovel does? Or is Yovel already a built-in limitation from the get-go? It's a built-in limitation. So what we really have here is, we have a sugya. The sugya says, in Meseches Gittin, the sugya goes to a discussion of, according to Rav Yochanan, that when you have two brothers make an estate division, we say ein brecha. Sugya daf mem tes in Gittin. We don't, meaning, when two brothers make a chalukah, we don't know if you got the right half. The concept is that conceptually, there's a Yerusha, you own 50%, and your brother owns 50%. But maybe you're sitting on his 50, and he's sitting on your 50. The division doesn't really slice it. The division doesn't tell us that you're on the right half. So the division is just a method of us to be able to move on. We got to move on. You have 50%. You have 50%. So we split it. But it's very possible you're on the wrong half. The Gemara says that according to Rav Yochanan, since he looks at it that way, every Yovel, they got to switch. Because they got to look at it like, could be the half that I got is not my half. So really, what is it? It's like a sale. So now I got to give you back that half. And then, but then on the other end, it could be it was my half. So then this half that I gave you now is a sale. So machzir and zel ze b'yovel. They give each other back. By yovel, there's a switch. Switch again, and then switch again. They keep on switching. So the Gemara debates, according to Rav Yochanan, and we paskin like Rav Yochanan. The Gemara debates, according to Rav Yochanan, why is it that they have to go ahead and bring bikurim? Any mitzvah which depends on owning land, they shouldn't have. Every two brothers shouldn't be able to bring bikurim. Because each one is only on the property temporarily. They have a kinyan peres. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. The Gemara says, but kinyan peres, according to Rav Yochanan, is like a kinyan aguf. Rav Yochanan happens to hold that if you own something for 49 years, you bring bikurim. The Gemara's language there in Gittin is lav the sphere later Rav Yochanan king Paris ke king Aguf loy motzi yodav ragel beis hamedrash. He would have no way of, because he wouldn't have bikurim. The Gemara says in order to bring bikurim, you need one boy, the son of one boy, the son of one boy, that they have the same property that went down like that bilusha, and then the Gemara says you wouldn't find bikurim. That's the Gemara. So the Chelkas Yoyev comes and he asks a great question. He says, I don't understand. When the brother A is sitting on the land, he's sitting on a piece of land that was given to him by the Yerusha. So what are we doing? We're saying, well, it could be it's yours, and it could be it's your brother's. And if it's your brother's, so you have to give it back to him. Because Yovel came. And we turn to the brother, we tell him the same thing. We say, it could be it's yours, but it could be it's not yours. If it's not yours, then it's a purchase. If it's a purchase, you got to give it back to your brother. So give it back. Ask the Chalkas Yev, we have a rule that governs Chosh and Mishpat. So I brought here the tshuva from the Chalkas Yev. He says, Al Korchach, it's only a Suffolk, we don't know. He says, if it's we don't know, Tim Cain, Amaylo Neymar Ba'achan Shechoku, Shemisfeke, Mekminin Ara, Becheskes Marakama. Keep it where it is. Why does the Gemara take on an assumption that a guy is sitting on a piece of property for 49 years, which may very well be his, and now we say, but maybe it was a sale, and therefore you have to go and give him Mechtesa? What's going on? So, I believe that how do we get around this question? I think the question is a bumper. It's a bomb question. Monetarily speaking, I don't see how we would get around it. But the way we can get around it is very simple. If we learn that Yovel, really the sale is forever. Every sale is forever. But there is a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah that you should give back. What does that basically mean? It means that when I'm holding onto a piece of land that I bought from you, really the sale was forever. I have now a mitzvah to give it back to you. Right? So it's strictly a shayla of a mitzvah. It's not a monetary shayla. Really. I mean, it's going to affect the monetary. But it's a mitzvah shayla. It's a mitzvah yevil shayla. Right? So now, this brother Reuven is sitting on the land for 49 years. At the end of 49 years, he has a shayla if he has a mitzvah. His ownership is not up for debate. We're not debating now whether he does own it, whether he owns it forever, he owns it for 49 years. He owns it forever anyway. If it's his, he owns it forever, and if it's... Either way, he got it forever. Now he only has one shayla. He comes to the Rav. He says, Rav, I have a shayla. Do I have a mitzvah yovel here? He's not coming with a monetary shayla. If you learn that yovel is a built-in limitation to the sale, that means he has a real monetary shayla. Rav, Did I own this field for 49 years? Or did I own this field forever? What's the halacha? That's a shaila to the Rav. That's a monetary question. The Rav would have a full right to say, Uki Mamoina, keep it where it is. He's also not a... He's come... Basically, you're sitting on a... What's happening in that Gemara in Gittin is you're sitting on a piece of land, and a guy comes to you and he says, you know what? This may be mine. Oh, take it. Why take it? Would any of you do that? Somebody knocked on your door tomorrow, and he said, Rebbe Leib, I think that the land you're sitting on may be my land. Would you care to move out? A, you would not move out. You'd be a tippish to move out. People don't even move out when they're supposed to move out. When the bank comes and says, it is ours, they still don't move out. They have this lady in Florida. She's been avoiding the bank for 36 years. She's now 76 years old. And they asked her how. She says she has a pit bull. Nishkin lawyer. Nishkin, she said, I'm my own lawyer. Nishkin, a dog. And that's the concept of mice. She said, I'm going to live it till I die. I'm not moving out. I'm not moving. They had a whole write-up about her. But Lamaisa, somebody comes to you, knocks on your door and says, I think maybe this house could be mine. And you know something? I admit to you that the chances of it being mine are exactly the same chances of it being yours. So, oh sure, please move in. I'm going in. And I'm going to take your property, which has the exact same chances of it being mine. The whole Gemara in Gittin, the Chmerafi Sigra. Do you know what's going on here, Rabbi Isai? Two brothers are living on two properties that they inherited, right? There's a 50-50% chance that the property they're sitting on is theirs. There's that exact same percentage of chance that the other property is theirs. And I'm here. So you're asking me would I like to move? With no, the only thing that we're going to gain is that we're going to move. Because I'm going to sit over there, it's also 50% chance mine. So you're telling me that I should call in the moving companies? First of all, wouldn't these two brothers, our brothers, say, you know what? Forget it. The whole sugya the chapliya. The chalkis yoyev asking a lomda shashayla, I'm asking you a practice shashayla. Imagine you have two brothers living in the exact same houses. They exactly the same. And they talk, have each one has a right to take over the other guy's house for fun of it. Would they do that? Would either one of them want to do it? No! Machzirin zel ze beyevel. The Chelkas Yoyev is asking in Lomdus. I'm saying Sai Lomdus and Sai Practical. In Lomdus it's a plea. In Lomdus it's a plea, and in Practical it's a plea. It could be, David, they could make a practical deal. It could be. Mistama, that's what they would do. It would make sense for them to do that. When I say practical, Mistama, they would be able to go to each other and say, you know what, I'm mocking it back to you, I'm living here I'm hanging out here for the next 49 years. The Gemara, it would still work because the Gemara is primarily dealing with how do you have a mitzvah of Bikurim for the next 49 years if you only own it for 49 years. So technically, you could still learn the Gemara that they would do that. No, and L'chori, in Lomdus, they Zichu would be able to do that. I'd be able to now be makna my house back to you. And I'll still stay here. Mistama, that's what they would do. Why would I move out? Okay? But that's frek the Chalkas Yev. The Chalkas Yev's kash is a bomb. But if you learn that Shemitah doesn't limit the initial sale. The initial sale is forever. He's selling it forever and he's selling it forever. They're both selling it forever. But what? Now comes the Yovel, and the Yovel is mafkia the sale. Through the mitzvah of Yovel, the Rambam Taka says, by the way, there's another raya to this. The Rambam says that if you sell a field forever, you mevatel the mitzvah. Of Oretz Lo Timochel Etzmisus. Sounds like from the Rambam that really it's up to you. You can reverse it. It's technically reversible. Technically reversible. You're not allowed to do it. Not allowed to do it. The Ramban has a whole shaila with the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs. If Oretz Lo Timochel Etzmisus is automatic, do you even have a right to? But Al Koponim, the way we're learning, it's primarily the mitzvah of Yovel that comes in now and plays this situation out. So now we don't have a shaila in Mominus. We don't have a shaila whether you own the land for 49 years, you own the land forever, in which we could say, well, if you're sitting there, sit there. Our shaila is, do you have a mitzvah of yovel on you? You own, either way, either scenario, you own the field forever. One scenario, you have a mitzvah of yovel, And one scenario, you don't have a mitzvah of Yevil. So l'gabi that is a din of Sofek deraisa l'chumra. Now there's a mitzvah deraisa, machzir and zolza b'yevil. As the Torah Kedoshah says, you got to do that. It's a mitzvah. Shnas ha-yevil ha-zois toshuvu yishlach ha-zolza. That's the pshat in the Gemara. That's the only way to understand Rav Yechanan. Otherwise, the question that they're asking Rav Yechanan is a pella. It's a pella nifla. L'chaira. That's what should come out. So now, l'chaira, when you learn our Gemara, right, the Gemara is different. Because our Gemara is clearly assuming that when you sell something till Yovel, and Yovel comes and terminates it, Rav Yosef is learning that means that Yovel is, every sale is limited. Because if not, then the whole Kal V'chomer is off too. Because the whole Gemara later, when the Gemara talks about somebody sells a field during Yovel, if it logically makes sense that it should, the sale should break, the Gemara says, what's the debate? The debate is, if Yovel is coming and it's an outside force of determination, then we could debate. Yovel only terminates something that started before Yovel. Then Yovel comes and terminates it. But if we say that you can only own a field until Yovel, Yovel's a buy-free zone. And that's the reason why whenever you sell a field, it's only till Yovel. Because Yovel says that that's it, that's where the sale ends. No sale could go past Yovel. Then you have the logic to say that if the Torah doesn't allow a sale to begin with, to go overlap with Yovel, then if you try to go and make a sale in the sale-free zone, it's not going to work. But if you learn that Yovel never affects the length of the sale is really forever, then there's a mitzvah Yovel that comes. Then there's no Kal V'chomer to say that if I go ahead and I sell something during Yovel, that it shouldn't work. Why shouldn't it work? Why wouldn't it work? Maybe Yovel only terminates something which was pre-existing before Yovel. Something was here before Yovel. Comes to Yovel, Yovel knocks it off. But something that, there's a whole shiloh by Shemitah. Shemitah is Meshamet Betchila, Shemitah is Meshamet Besoif. By Yovel, there's also such a debate. So then there's no, the Kal V'chomer falls off. So our whole Gemara, using the Kal V'chomer, is only on the tzad, that Yovel is a limitation to a sale. And that's why the Gemara is debating if the Kohanim come in by Yovel and they pay, or the Kohanim come in and they don't pay. That's the whole shakl v'tayr of our Gemara. But if you hold that Yovel itself, by nature, Yovel is really not a limitation to the sale. Whenever you own something, you betzim own something forever. Then the whole Kal V'chomer goes off betzim. Correct? Then the Kal V'chomer would go off to begin with. In other words, if betzim you own something forever, then the whole Kal V'chomer would fall off. So it comes out that the whole underlying svar of our Gemara is only based on the fact that Yovel is going ahead to be a limitation to the sale. Then you have the Kal V'chomer. If Yovel is not. Now years ago, I found a shtikl Torah in the Sefer HaPardes where the Birkas Shmuel clearly says this idea. There's a Birkas Shmuel, he was giving shir in Gittin. And one of his Talmidim brings down as follows. This was written in 1924. V'nivali, he says, this is the Birkas Shmuel. He says, it would appear to me, Sha'amoicher soda b'shnas ha-yoivel. Shenistapgu besugya ha'im yesh kal v'chomer ma mechura kvar yotze sheina mechura in adin shaloti mochel. He says Rav Soiver, if you hold that there's a kal v'chomer, he says Rav Oma mechura v'yotze. He says Rav Sova, the reason why Rav holds that way is because he holds she yovel bo umafkia kinyan shehi be'emes le'olam. Says the Birkas Shmuel, Yovel comes and gets rid of a sale which was really here forever. Okay? So then he says there's no Kal V'chomer that if you sell something in Yovel it should go out. Because really, Yovel is a mitzvah. Yovel's not a limitation in the sale. He says, however, Shmuel, who Soiver Sha'amechira Yirak Ad Nun Shona, that's the sale.
So this is Mamish the Brick of Shmuel, how we learned the sugya later on. That he learned that the Kal V'Chomer is only possible if you learn that there's a limitation to the sale. But if Yovel is a mitzvah, an external thing, then the whole thing, the whole Kal V'Chomer, everything, the whole sugya doesn't flow from beginning to the end. So this whole sugya, Rav Yosef, everything is all going only if you hold that Yovel is a limitation to the sale. That's all. So if it comes out, if that's the case, then the only way to learn the machloikis, if you hold like Rav Yechanan, is only on the psukim. Mishnas ha-yovel, v'lo yovel atzmai. The whole first part of our Gemara is only going if you hold that yovel is a limitation. So the Rambam, who paskins like the sugin gittin like Rav Yechanan, machzir in zelzeh b'yovel, he had proof from that sugin gittin that yovel is not a limitation in the sale, ever. Yovel is always only a mitzvah. That's all Yovel is. If Yovel is only a mitzvah, it has no shaychus whatsoever to whether there's a Kal V'Chomer, it should go out, it shouldn't go out. That whole back and forth of the Gemara doesn't really affect the Rambam at all. Because the Rambam paskens like Rav Yechanan. So the only way to learn the shaila of whether the sale is, whether the Hekdesh works or not, is based on the Psukim, which our Gemara continues with. Mishnas HaYovel. Does it mean Yovel is included in that? What does the Torah say about it? The logic, the Svara, is out the window. Because all the Svaras of our Gemara are all developed around the fact that Yovel is a limitation on what you've done. If Yovel is not a limitation on what you've done, then the whole Gemara doesn't flow. So then, if that's the case, we have no kasha on the Rambam. Because the fact that we said that the Rambam is going, the Rambam paskins like the Gemara and getting like Rav Yechanan, who holds that two brothers have to give each other back by Yovel. Which the only way to learn that means that Yovel is not a limitation financially. Because if it would be a limitation financially, we would say, Amoitzim Echavel V'Raya. Each guy would stay on their half. The only reason why there's this din that they have to switch back is because Yovel doesn't limit the ownership. Yovel is only a mitzvah. So if Yovel is a mitzvah, then the Kal V'Chomer in our Gemara doesn't flow. The Kal V'Chomer in our Gemara is only going if Yovel is a limitation in ownership. So therefore, the Rambam, we were saying, how could the Rambam ignore the whole first part of our Gemara? Because the Gemara in Gittin is ignoring our first part of our Gemara. Because the whole first part of our Gemara is going that Yovel is some kind of svara where there's a limitation in your ownership. And that's how the whole Gemara goes back and forth. But from the Gemara in Gittin, it's clear that Yovel is not a limitation on your ownership. Al Korchach, the only way to learn the Machlekes here is in Psukim. So Psukim, Dr. Rambam, I paskin like Shmuel. Shmuel Bedin, that was the end of the story. That was the Machlekes. Now we could analyze why he paskins like Shmuel, like Rav, but at least we got clear why he doesn't take on the whole first part of our Gemara. Which Dor HaSamech says, he doesn't hold of the pupil of Rav Yosef. We're really concluding like Dor HaSamech. I'm just telling you, but how did the Rambam have the places? How did the Rambam go and say, you know what, that whole pupil of Rav Yosef, it's a bar mitzvah shetel, I don't have to deal with that. He didn't have to deal with it because he had a sugi that was muchach, not like that. That's what I'm saying. Okay.